So as we are teaching on growing in grace, we're headed to the third section, the third set of behaviors, which I am calling young adults, men and women, as opposed to a child and a newborn Christian. I don't want you to get under any condemnation from this word that I'm going to minister this morning or from here on. The majority of our churches are at a child stage. Most of the congregation, they're still in newborn and child stage. They haven't grown up yet. There are some that are in the next stage, young adults, and there are some that have spiritual maturity, but very few. And I think sometimes we think that's great for them, but God has a purpose. Why would he raise us, call us newborn, and not want us to go further on? I was studying in the New Testament, and God dropped this in my heart, and he said, what do you think Paul's ministry and purpose was in giving you those epistles that he wrote in the New Testament? And I just thought the word was just to help us, you know, live our Christian life. The word is there for me to, you know, help to get rid of the enemy and to do all kinds of, you know, other things and believe and have faith and trust and build my faith and all that. He said Paul was wanting the church, the early church, he wanted them to grow up. He says it so. One of our main scriptures about growing up is talking about that. He wanted them to grow. He did not want them to stay in the state where they were, like the Corinthians. Pastor talked about as he was ministering on the Holy Spirit, stay in a state of disorder. They had the gifts, they had the power of God, they had the presence of God, but they were disorderly. They just needed to grow up. They needed to grow some more. And so we have the New Testament to help us to advance in the things of God, the way that he desires for us. He put it in there to give us an example, and Paul says that so in so many words. So we know that the purpose of God is for us to grow. Some of us don't want to. A lot of people want to stay, oh, I just want to go to church, and then I want to, you know, say my hallelujah, and then I'm going to go home and, you know, watch TV or drive or, I don't know, do whatever you do other than magnifying and glorifying God, which is our single most purpose, is to follow after God in everything that we do. This is the difference between a child and moving to the next level. The young man or young adult has caught on to, I need to get rid of all this extraordinary stuff that doesn't mean a hill of beans. It's not helping me spiritually grow. It's only hindering me. It's standing in my way of me gaining access to those things that God wants me to have. Now, that is the other thing about the young man also in his thinking. He's thinking, I want what God wants for me. So much so that he is laying aside everything else that stands in the way of that. His focus, his attention is on, I got to get what God wants me to have. I got to get what God wants me to have. God is saying to me, I want you to grow. I want you to have these things. He talks about it. Some of us like, oh, that's too hard. I can't do the greater things. I mean, yeah, I know greater things than me, but, you know, I ain't got to figure all that stuff. Let somebody else figure that out. Let me just call a pastor. He can go down there and witness to the people. You know, he can do all that. Let me just call a pastor. He can lay hands and heal the sick, you know, raise the dead. Let me just call him, or let me just call somebody else, one of the other leaders, for them to do it. When God is saying, I want you to grow up. Because there are more people out there that need him than we, any of us, can even fathom of being able to meet that need. We have some that will be able to help. Yes, true. But we can't meet the multitudes that are needing help from God unless we decide, I need to grow up. Some of you have made that decision. I hear it in your voice when you speak. I see it in your eyes when you talk about the Lord. I know that you have moved on to the next level. Don't get under condemnation if you have not. I'm not trying to put you down. I'm not trying to make you feel small. I'm just trying to believe with you and seek with you what God wants for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for blessing and ministering to us through your great word. We thank you for the praise and worship, Father, that you inhabited and came and allowed us to receive, Father, from your presence. We thank you for it. We are your people here, sitting here beholding you and desiring, Father, you. Nobody but you. Only you, Father God. We've sung that song, you are my everything. And we're desiring, Father God, to move on. Some of us, Father, we walked with you for many years. I just mentioned I've been saved for over 40 years. And for a 40-year-old Christian, there should be something going on. And I believe that in my heart, that we should be mounting up with you, gathering, Lord God, the word of God in our hearts to do the ministry that you called us to do. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for having our hearts prepared and ready to receive. Thank you that we're here the word that we need to hear today. Cause us, Lord God, to go further on in you. In Jesus' name we pray. So we're in the young man stage. I gave you an introduction last time I was here. We're going to just start from the top. There's no priority order in these characteristics of a young adult Christian. We're just going to jump right in where God started me in the beginning. I may say young man, adult Christian. I may mention man, but I mean man and woman. Woman. I mean mankind. Not to say that if you're a woman that you can't grow in God, but this is for both men and women to mature in him. Turn to 1 Timothy. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go read some scripture. I know some of you say, oh, I know where he's going. Because Paul, he talks about Timothy being young. Yeah, when God started talking to me about this, I was just flabbergasted by some of the just flat out, you know, ways that he was like, it's just written plain, if we would, you know, look at it, that he wanted us to continue on and grow. I'm going to start in verse 1. Paul, an apostle, I'm reading out the Amplified, special messenger of Christ Jesus by appointment and command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, the Messiah, our hope. To Timothy, my true son, in the faith, grace, spiritual blessing and favor, mercy and heart peace be yours from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I was on my way to Macedonia, stay on where you are at Ephesus in order that you may warn and admonish and charge certain individuals not to teach any different doctrine, nor to give importance to or occupy themselves with legends, fables, myths, and endless genealogies which foster and promote useless speculations and questionings rather than acceptance in faith of God's administration and the divine training that is in faith, in that leaning on the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and obedience. I'm sorry, trust and confidence. Whereas the object and purpose of our instruction and charge is love, which springs from a pure heart and a good, clear conscience and sincere, unfeigned faith. But certain individuals have missed the mark on this very matter and have wandered away into vain arguments and discussions and purposeless talk. They are ambitious to be doctors of the law, teachers of the Mosaic ritual, but they have no understanding either of the words and terms they use or the subjects about which they make such dogmatic assertions. Now, we recognize and know that the law is good if anyone uses it lawfully for the purpose for which it was designed. Knowing and understanding this, that the law is not enacted for the righteous, the upright and just, who are in right standing with God, but for the lawless and unruly, for the ungodly and sinful, for the irreverent and profane, for those who strike and beat and even murder fathers, and strike and beat and even murder mothers, for manslayers, for impure and immoral persons, those who abuse themselves with men, kidnappers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is opposed to wholesome teaching and sound doctrine, as laid down by the glorious gospel of the blessed God, with which I have been entrusted. I give thanks to him who has granted me the needed strength and made me able for this, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he has judged and counted me faithful and trustworthy, appointing me to this stewardship of the ministry. In Paul's epistle to Timothy, he addresses Timothy as a young man. 1 Timothy 4:12. I may jump around a little bit here. Let no one despise or think less of you because of your youth, but be an example, a pattern for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Paul addresses Timothy as a young man, and then he outlines six behaviors and attitudes or characteristics that identify Christians at the young adult stage of growth. In the first chapter of Timothy, Paul instructs young men and women to be teachers of sound doctrine and not to engage in empty and meaningless arguments. 1 Timothy 1:3-7, we just read. You will know you have matured past childlike stage when you start to recognize the sound doctrine of faith. The doctrine of faith requires advancing God's program of instruction, which is grounded in faith, and requires surrendering the entire self to God in absolute trust and confidence. That was 1 Timothy 1:4. At the young man's stage of growth, we are grounded in faith to the point of being able to instruct others. And we understand that this faith walk takes the leaning of our entire being on the Word of God to produce the results of the Word. This faith works by love, another sound doctrine that is the end goal of our instruction, 1 Timothy 1:5. We know that love is the end result and the culmination of God's salvation, John 3:16. These are considered the sound doctrines that young men and women are engaged in, as Paul instructed Timothy. The last sound doctrine mentioned is that this love is from a pure heart and a good conscience. The young men and women are in touch with the hidden man of the heart, 1 Peter 3:4. And can identify God's instructions and commands through the recreated Spirit and the Holy Spirit of God. We read that discourse in 1 Timothy, and you can reference that back to what we're saying, that God wants young men to have sound doctrine. We need to remember the first principles of doctrine of Christ represented in Hebrews 6. Anybody remember those? Pastor taught on them. I didn't teach on them because Pastor taught them. Young adults are grounded in these basic truths, right? Because they were basic principles. They're newborn characteristics. Characteristics that we should at least know. We may not understand them fully, but as a newborn Christian, you should know those. Young adults are grounded in these basic truths. The repentance from dead works, faith in God, the dual meanings of the doctrine of baptisms and the laying of hands, the resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment. You can peek back at the newborn stage to find out a little bit more about those. Well, you can't peek back. If you buy the book, you can peek back. So sound doctrine. And, Paul instructs Timothy to be what? An example to other believers. So a young man is poised to be an example of having or moving or knowing sound doctrine. The young man understands the purpose and appropriate use of the old covenant law. The law is good within itself, but it is not to be used for or against those who are made righteous. The law is made to be used for all those who practice unrighteous acts. Galatians gives us proof of our redemption from the law. And then this law that he's talking about, he's not talking about our word that we've gotten from God that we see in the New Testament. He's talking about the law that's written back in the Pentateuch, Leviticus, some of those in the Exodus. They were laid out for the early Israelites to walk in that pattern, and they were to show us. I mean, he tells us how though they are being used now, but he tells us that that law has been conquered, fulfilled in Jesus. Galatians 3:10 through 13. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. This is what Galatians tells us. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So we're getting to a place now where we're trying to understand the purpose of God's word and the difference between what the law is saying and what Jesus has said after we have been received in salvation from him. So Galatians tells us, I want you to know that if you're going to try to do the law, you got to do all that law, and you're going to be judged as one that is under the law. And then he says that if you're going to stay under the law, you're already cursed because Jesus has come and redeemed us from that law. He has fulfilled. In Jesus, the law has been fulfilled. In Jesus, the law has been fulfilled. And in us, since Jesus is in us, it has been fulfilled for us. So all those things that are written in the law that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were telling the people at that time to do or to walk in, they no longer apply to you and I. Galatians 3:23 says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. We recognize those things that do not adhere to sound doctrine and seek to order our lives after the doctrines as taught by the Word of God. Paul used his life as an example to identify to young adults that the focus of God, the purpose of Jesus' life, is to save sinners and make men and women righteous. The end of the chapter of 1 Timothy 1, Paul is encouraging Timothy at the young man stage to hold to the faith and to remember the prophecies that he received so he could wage a good warfare. 1 Timothy 18 and 19. Let me read those. This charge and admonition I commit in trust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with prophetic intimations which I formerly received concerning you, so that inspired and aided by them, you may wage the good warfare, holding fast to faith, that leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence, and having a good, clear conscience by rejecting and thrusting from them their conscience, some individuals have made shipwreck of their faith. We're talking about adhering to sound doctrine. The warfare of faith takes place in our innermost being between our carnal nature, reason, which is our intellect, the traditions of men, and things we have learned through means other than the revelation of the word by the Spirit. The young man or woman knows how to put down these imaginings for the cause of Christ and the saving of sinners. So what he's basically saying, don't you get caught up in the traditions of men. Don't get caught up in your own intimations, your own ideas about how to do the work of the ministry that God has called you to. He wants you to be in connection with him. Now, he's putting it in such a way that causes you to have to lean on him. I read those scriptures and a lot of you had this confused look on your face. He's like, well, what really is he saying? What is he trying to do? I was saying that to the Holy Spirit when I was reading. What really are you trying to say? What are you trying to say, God? He says, I'm trying to jar you away from the things that you already have settled in on as being comfortable, which is, oh, okay, this is the way that things should be done. Okay, this is the way that I understand things. He's trying to get you to put your trust in him. The young man has to go, because you have to now believe in this new thing that God is doing, called faith. Faith in his word to honor, to do the things that God wants you to do. You got to not rest in some of the things that you used to rest in. I don't know what those things are for you. He knows, but he's just trying to say, look, the word of God is the place where you should be. The word of God is the place where you should put your focus on. The word of God is where you should put your study in. You should be saturating yourself with the word of God. The word of God is where the reality of the walk of God in Christ is. The word of God is where, trust in the word that God has given us, the New Testament that he is bringing forth in us to this new life, is that word. The young man says, I got to get away from all this other stuff. Stuff that when before I was tossed to and fro, right, every wind of doctrine. I got to get away from those things. I got to get back to where my foundation and where my strength and stability relies on in the Word of God. I got to start taking those things that I don't quite understand and going before God and saying, God, I need some understanding on this thing. I need you to bring to light what this thing means for me. Pastor's been teaching on baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. Some of you have done that and have championed, and God has given you revelation, and you're moving forward from that. Some of you haven't. You're still wondering, do I need that? Why do I need that? Why does he say? Why does God put it in there? If he didn't want you and I to have it, why did he put it in there? He ain't stupid. Why are we thinking that God is dumb? God is an ignorant man because he put this in here, and we go around speaking in tongues, speaking like you don't know what you're talking about, having no intellect, no reason. What are you talking about? You think God is stupid. Those of you who don't believe in the Bible that says we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is up to you and I to seek after the things that he has told us that we can have. He is the one that says that you are sealed by the Spirit of God. Your salvation, the Spirit that comes on the inside of you, seals you to the day of his coming. I don't know why you don't want to just jump over and start saying, okay, I got, and this all that's happened to us when we got filled with the Holy Spirit. We saw that in the Bible, and we started saying, man, do I need this? Do I need this now? Help me to understand this. We began to seek after him, and I remember praying in the morning, early mornings, for this gift of speaking in tongues or being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And as I sat in my living room on the floor with no one else around me, there was no preachers, there was no radio, there was no TV, there was no books but the Bible. And I began to pray, Father, if this is what you want me to have, please give it to me. And immediately, I was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. I don't know how it happened. I just did what I just told you I did. And it just happened. So I know that it can be that way. It may not have happened that way for you. You may have come up to the front and laid hands. And later, and I got hands laid on me many times. And I, you know, because I wanted more of God. We were fanatical in those days. There were tent revivals all over the valley. We go to all the tent revivals. Some of them we shouldn't have went to, but we went to them anyway. Because we heard about the moving of the Spirit of God. And we wanted all of him. Wherever he was, God's people was doing some very strange things back in those days. But I'm telling you, we went because we were hungry for him. Hungry for the word of God. As a young man, this is a thing that fucks you. It hits you. Hits you right square in the face. I need to know more of what he's talking about. Because when he talks about us growing, remember in Ephesians, he says that he has given to men ministry. Ministry to help the body. Ephesians 4. Do you not want to help the body? As a Christian, do you not want to help the body? That's the thing about that is, see, God gives you that. He gives you that attitude or that behavior or that sense or that want to. When you begin to grow and you come to the young man stage, you get this, I need to do what God wants me to do. What ministry has he given me? It may not be one of these great giant and, you know, fanfare. Might not be like a pastor or, you know, an apostle or prophet or one of those. Or it might be. What you learn about God is that there's not one intimation of the gift. The pastor gift comes in many flavors. Teacher's gift comes in many flavors. Many levels. You may not be able to teach the congregation, but you may be able to teach the little ones. You may not be able to teach 500, but you may be able to teach five. You might prophecy many flavors. You might be just telling between you and your wife. She might just be dreaming dreams and telling you. I said that for sure. But there are many, many. He wants us involved because that causes us to want to grow closer to him. It also gives us a determination, a stability in him. A maturity, if I will say that. Why do you need that? So you won't be tossed to and fro. So that you can go on to do the things that God has said. For his church to be in the place for he can return. Even that is something that should be like, well, we all need to be doing our part in the body so that we can all be set. When Jesus looks at us, he can see this glorious, beautiful bride. And not some sloppy, whoppy, messy, you know, fall down and get hurt church. Do you kind of get what I'm saying? As part of that glorious bride, you need to be glorious as part of that bride. Even if you are the pinky on the foot. You get a pinky on the foot. Pinky on the hand and little foot, toe on the foot, whatever, toenail, hair strand, whatever it is, you need to be glorious as well. For the body, for Jesus to go back and go, oh, that's my glorious church. You think that there will be one hair out of place on the bride of God when he comes? That's going to be you, right, hanging on. Like, I'm hanging on, God. I'm over here, the strand that just won't sit back. It is God's purpose in you. It is what he desires of all the people. Even though I'm saying this to you in here, it's for all of the body, all over the world, that they grow. They move on to the next level that God has them for. You ain't going to get that just sitting down and, you know, waving your head back and forth and, you know, just, I'm going to church this morning and not praising God and, you know, I'm not reading your word and not praying. All those things are characteristics and behaviors of people who are young adults in God. They take things a little bit more serious. Yeah, they still have joy. You guys are still bubbly, and we all have good conversation on Wednesday. I think all of those that come are looking to increase in God, looking to do better, looking to know something that they didn't know before. We come together, and we gain and glean from one another so that we can grow and get stabler, get more stable. Yeah, stabler. Get stable. So that we can go forward. Now, I need to stop right there. And I need to talk about time. It's almost 11:30. Do we get out at 11:30? What time we get out? We get out about 11:30. Now, Pastor got a hold of me. Somebody told him I went too long. Last time I missed it. Now I'm going to get a hold of you. Do you want what the Spirit of God has for you or not? I went over maybe, 15 minutes? Maybe 30 minutes. Do you not want what God? The young man can sit in these chairs for hours. As long as they're hearing and peering into the heart of God, receiving what God wants from them. If you say to God, I don't want to sit there and listen to that word anymore, I'm done, then you have not advanced into the next level. That's all that is. And that's all I want to say about time. Young man, two characteristics that we've mentioned today. First of all, we know that he is going to be an example of the word of God. Faith was the first one we talked about, and we talked about sound doctrines as the second one. Those two things are things that he is focused on. He is not trying to hide. He is not run away. He is not trying to run away from it. He is like, I want to grow. I may not have it all right now, God, but I'm sitting in this chair. I'm sitting on my bed or wherever you sit to pray and read your word because I want to know more. And you're not asking me and Pastor for more. Because you know you're going to get a little bit, but you're not going to get everything you need until you begin to realize that you need to ask your Father in heaven, Jesus, who is set that is a part of your life, who has saved you, redeemed you, set you free, healed you, done all those things for you, not for you to just say, oh, yay, I'm a good man. Hey, hey. There is no... Therefore, now no condemnation to those who walk after the Spirit. None. So I'm not trying to heap condemnation on. I'm just trying to say when you begin to grow, your focus changes. You make it change. You decide. He said, I mean, you can sit back and say, oh, I don't know what he's talking about. I don't want to do it. And you go about your business. I don't care. I'm not your Savior. I'm not your Lord. I'm not the one giving you eternal life. You know, so don't even once have a thought that I can stop it from happening. I cannot. But as a brother in the Lord, as someone who God has gifted to just share his love and heart with you, I want you to move to the next step. I want you to move on, become more grounded in him. Don't look at yourself as somebody that I can't do that. God is wanting you to, he's looking for you. He just wants you to do like I did. I don't know nothing about music, huh? Now, not for you, for me. I'm just saying that's an example. You might say, I don't know nothing about this Holy Ghost and this speaking in tongues, God, but please give it to me because you said I could have it. You said I could do it. I have not heard one person. I've read some things, but I haven't heard a person say, God told me I don't need that Spirit of God. I haven't heard him say that. Have you heard anybody say that? Anybody that's saved. Now, you can hear a bunch of, you know, unbelievers say some stuff, like, you know, crazy stuff. They say some crazy stuff. But not a believer. Not somebody who's yearning after God. Not someone who wants to serve God. Not someone who wants to be what God wants to be, all that he wants. We've got to move to the next level. And two of the characteristics of that next level is being focused on the Word of God, taking your Word out yourself. Pastors taught on it all again and again and again. You bring your Bible. You look in the Word. You seek after the things that God said. You look at it and you read it. If you don't believe what he is speaking is truth, you do the teaching. I've done that the whole time that I have been a Christian. I didn't know that before. I didn't know that I needed to do that before until someone stood up and told me, like I'm telling you. And I was like, oh, is that what we is that what we need to do? Yes, this is what you need to do. You know, I was had a prayer partner in college. Me and him prayed. We prayed every day together. We had a time set aside, and we got together and grabbed hands and blessed the Lord and prayed. And I didn't notice this. But he had noticed that every time I come in and we sat, and he said, your face would be so full of joy. Now, I didn't know that I was witnessing to him that way. I wasn't. The Spirit of God was doing that, right? And he said, how can he have so much joy? You know, because he felt like he didn't have any. But we pray every day. And I was full of him. And so the Spirit of God told him, this is revelation. He told me as a testimony. He said, God told me that it's because he's reading his word every day. What do you do? I was reading my word every day. That was the truth. Every day, I was into the word of God. I stay as long as I could. You know, when you're busy and scheduled, you work, and blah, blah, blah. God knows that. But I stay as long as I can in the word of God. I'm reading. That's what I come up with crazy revelations from the word. Remember that, honey, one morning I told her I said, honey, I'm dead. I'm dead, honey. She says, okay. But I can see you still walking around here, so you know. What I meant, you know, the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Right? Nevertheless, I live. But I am crucified with Christ. That revelation struck down into my soul, and I was like, I'm dead. I was testifying to myself, trying to get myself from the place where my mind wanted to control me to the place where the Spirit of God could control me. Because he was saying, I have been with Jesus crucified. Nevertheless, I still live. Not by myself, but by what? The faith that he has given me. By the Word of God. Sometimes you gotta say it like that. Why? Because your mind and intellect want to get in the way. Your reason will make it shipwreck, make you a shipwreck. Some of you go, I don't want to be crazy. Well, I started saying, I want to be crazy. Get this thinking out of me because God is more real than I am. He saved you and me for a purpose. There is a purpose that he saved all of us. I was going to try to do three today, but I only got two, so we'll hop on the next time that we come. It's a good one, because I'll just give you a preview before I quit here. The next one is about the young man overcomes the evil one. God said it in the word. He said, he has overcome the world. He has overcome the evil that's in the world. False prophets, enemies of your faith. He said, you are over, have overcome. I speak to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. You guys should be jumping, dancing. The next stage that you go in is you realizing that the devil ain't got nothing on you. Nothing, zero. Remember, was it Luke 10:19? Right? Luke 10:19 says, God says, Jesus tells his disciples, I have given you all authority, all power over the power and authority of the devil. I'm paraphrasing there, but we'll get into it next time. But he tells you that you have all authority over not only the power of the devil, but the scorpions and the serpents. Who is the devil? I know. Pastor always warned me. I only went 10 minutes. I didn't go 10 minutes over. I'm about to go 10 minutes over. But that's where we'll take up next time as we grow in God and perceive the next level of where God wants us to be. Amen?